morning. Today is Tuesday, September the 27th. Joining us this morning is Fortuna's not city manager.
That's right.
Not even interim anything.
Nope.
He's the permanent police chief, Bill Doberstein. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, whatever you say. So have you seen that funny-looking guy that used to call Arcata his home?
I have, yeah. Yes, I have.
We're talking about Mr. Mendoza, the interim.
Yes, he's a very nice man. He's
Oh, geez, already?
Yeah.
First sentence?
I got to stay on this good side.
Now, you got to remember, he's a former police guy.
Right.
So you guys have that simpatico going already.
And we've already had some police-related conversations since he's been there. So, yeah, oh. it's been fun.
Yeah. And you look forward to every one of them, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's very knowledgeable.
Before it gets too deep in here, our quote this morning comes from Dag Hammarskjöld. Quote, "What is one to do on a bleak day but drift for a while through the streets? Go with a flow."
Done that a few times?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was kind of like a fog quote. Everywhere other than Sonny Fortuna.
Yeah.
Randy's going to have to get used to that. He's also going to have to realize he's going to have to show up. Otherwise, we're going to talk about him the whole show.
That's right. Yeah. It's been nice the last few days there, that's for sure. Nice and sunny.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, you realize everything now is under the backdrop of, are you kissing his butt or not? Any
no,
phrase?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
I'm not, no.
Oh, well, let's start with the thing yesterday. And I know 36 is not your guys' jurisdiction, but another body.
Yeah.
Are you stunned at the amount of death this year in the drug industry in Humboldt County?
Well, yesterday we had a murder in Fortuna.
I was going to lead up to that, but okay, fine.
Yeah. Yesterday, quite frankly, I was so wrapped up in, we had a couple of major cases in Fortuna. But yeah, we had a murder in Fortuna, and, you know, through assistance with the Sheriff's Department, CHP, and the District Attorney's Office, we all worked together, and we were able to get our shooter in custody within 6 hours. So I was really happy and pleased with our guys and working with the other agencies on bringing our bad guy into custody so quickly.
Was it an easy resolution, or did things come into play? I mean, we hear about some of these other ones that have been going on throughout the country in the last little bit, and it seems either like it's over, bam, because the guy doesn't make it,
right?
Or it's prolonged. You know, 6 hours, sounds like you guys were on the ball.
We were on the ball. Again, you know, a lot of credit goes to the Sheriff's Department. They utilized their SWAT team in assisting us with bringing him into custody. Working together, they used their robot at the location out on 36. That helped tremendously. They had SWAT team out there along with our officers from the police department. And we located the suspect after about an hour and a half of being on the property, and we're able to take him into custody. So no shots were fired out there. He went into custody peacefully, so we're thankful for that, but it was very tragic.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Fortuna Police Chief Bill Doberstein. Bill, there's probably a urban fable that things come in threes, that there's cycles to things, that the moon impacts this and does it. Have you found any correlation to that? I mean, you guys were super busy yesterday, and you'll probably be not so busy today and tomorrow and the next day. And something will happen. And, you know, do you find any weirdness in that or trends along those lines?
You know, ironically, I do believe there's some truth in that. You know, last month in August, we had a burglary where houses burglarized, firearms were stolen, then they set the house on fire. And the very next day, we had an armed bank robbery. And then for a few days after that, we really didn't have any, you know, major type of crime. Yesterday, we had a home invasion robbery at about 9:30 in the morning, and then we had a murder investigation at 12:45 p.m. So let's hope it comes in twos this time and not threes. But
yeah. The home invasions, we hear an awful lot of those in Eureka.
Mm-hmm.
Most times it's druggies on druggies, druggies involved, you know, trying to get something that they can, I guess, barter with. Cause I don't think the pawn shops take them anymore. You know, some of these different things. What is the basic concept behind the armed or the home invasion? Unless, I mean, if it's drugs, okay, fine. It's the user is coming in, but if it's not that, what's it, what is it about?
Well, our victim in our home invasion was an elderly man. We have three suspects. We have not identified the suspects. We could speculate that they were taking money and jewelry, you know, to barter for drugs or something along those lines. But in this case, we had a 9:30 in the morning. 79-year-old man was sitting in his house. He had his garage door open. It was a very warm morning. Three people come in with hoods, covering their faces. One of them had a rifle. They order him to the safe. So we do believe they knew that there was a safe in the residence. Ordered him to remove the cash and jewelry out of the safe, tied him up, and then stole his 2016 Jeep Grand Cherokee out of his driveway, which was recovered about an hour and a half later in Rio Del, burned up on the river bar. So... you know, we're actively working that case. We're investigating some leads, but we have not made any arrests in that case at this point. But it's a big case. It's a big case for Fortuna.
I would think it's a big case for the individual also in the neighborhood, wherever you are. The home invasions, do they tend to be on folks who are known? I mean, 9:30 in the morning on a Monday. Give me a break.
Right.
Most are at work. Those that aren't at work are doing stuff. I mean, for three people to show up at 9:30 and knowing that somebody's going to be there?
Right.
Or was it a surprise that somebody was there?
I think they knew somebody was going to be there based on the circumstance that they asked. They knew there was a safe, and they knew that he would be able to open the safe when they got there. I believe they probably had some sort of intel, so to speak, before they arrived, that there was a safe in the residence, and that this person, you know, appeared to be an easy target. And that's unfortunate. We don't get a lot of those in Fortuna, so when we do, we take those very seriously. We investigate them very thoroughly, and we're going to leave no stone unturned in this case.
So others in town don't have to be concerned that this is now a method crime that they're going to be possibly exposed to, and we're going to have a rash of home invasions because it just doesn't seem like this is totally random.
It doesn't seem like it's totally random. I wouldn't want to put it out there that they have nothing to worry about. We haven't
beyond the normal pay attention to what's going on and that kind of stuff.
Be aware if you see something suspicious, call us. We always are telling the citizens in Fortuna to call us if they see something suspicious. We have a neighborhood watch program that's pretty good. If we can get a group of people in a neighborhood together that want to start a neighborhood watch where neighbors look out after each other, that's always a good thing. If you see someone suspicious in your neighborhood, doesn't belong there, a vehicle that doesn't belong there, three or four people walking down the street that you've never seen before that just look a little odd. Those are the type of things that...
Those are lost broadcasters.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Get me, Rod Allen, a couple other guys wandering down streets. Yeah, I mean, that put a little fear in people.
We'll be getting calls all day on that.
Oh, do you guys have the problem with the bicycles with the mismatched wheels?
The mismatch.
I look at that. That's what I use because we're kind of on a main drag. If somebody's riding a bike by, okay. Yeah, I mean, you got the tight short guys that are, you know, the hell bent for leather crowd. Okay, and they're you know, if any of these guys ever wanted to fake us out, if they got a pair of those shorts on and the funny hat and the like the jersey, they could ride through any neighborhood and not get any suspicion at all.
Right.
But it's the guys that have different wheels. And you go, really? No. Okay, I'm going to watch this one.
Right. Yeah, we look for that sort of thing. You know, someone's stealing some bikes and partying them out. We get that a lot. We have we just had propertyroom.com actually come down, and we're going to auction off some property that's been in our evidence for quite a while, and most of that property is bicycles. We recover more bicycles than I could even count. And
is that like eBay of the cop shop?
It kind of is like eBay. Yeah. they come down and it goes on. There's a generator, grow lights, and bicycles. We got lots of that stuff. If you go on propertyroom.com, you could probably pick up some pretty cheap.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill Doberstein from the Fortuna Police Department. Or we could say the Northern Branch of City Hall.
Yes. we would rather say the Fortuna Police Department.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let those other guys be the Southern Branch, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, my. So you've got two active investigations that are pretty significant in impact.
Yes.
To the community. When something like that happens, what does it do to the rest of the staff? Does that draw down resources? Do you have to throw folks into areas that they aren't normally, leaving other areas not attended to? Like paperwork, for example?
Yeah. Well, for example, we'll take the murder case that we took yesterday. You know, as soon as our officers responded on the scene, you know, we knew we had a big case. We started immediately calling folks in on their days off to come in to help cover patrol. And you have to remember, we only have two patrol officers, you know, for the entire city during that time. So obviously they're going to be tied up on scene. So we have to get, you know, people in so they can cover other calls for service. We start coordinating with other agencies. The California Highway Patrol was great. They were there within minutes to help us with setting up a crime scene around our location and looking for the suspect vehicle and those sorts of things. So there's a whole host of things we have to do, especially, you know, when we don't have very many personnel on duty at one time.
That's what I was saying, because everybody tends to be looking forward at whatever the new cool thing is.
Right.
And nobody's looking backwards and saying, okay, so in the void,
right,
are we exposed or not? Sounds like not.
No, we're exposed if we can't get a hold of some folks to get them in to help cover patrol. You know, one of the things we do in Fortuna, we do have our officers. We have a take-home vehicle program, which is great. Keeps the neighborhoods love them, you know, where the officers live. But it also assists us in cases like this where we need somebody in quickly. They could put their uniform on at their house, get in their patrol car, and basically they're in service for duty. And that's really what the reasoning behind take-home vehicles are. So that helps us out. You know, they don't have to go to the station and get changed and get dressed to find a vehicle and that sort of thing. So yesterday was, you know, a very busy day. We had a couple of major cases yesterday. Our victim in our homicide was a very well-known person in the community. He was a captain with the fire department. We had fire personnel on scene with us. They were assisting us with traffic control yesterday, and it was very hard for the firefighters. They knew this person very personally, and it was a rough. It was just a rough scene for them to be on, and a rough scene for everybody.
Yeah, I wouldn't think this was a cakewalk for you guys either, because you know who the fire guys are.
We know the fire guys, and our victim in this, we've worked with him many times. I wouldn't say I know him on a personal level, but I've talked to him many times. I've seen him on many fire scenes, and he was a genuinely a nice person, and seemed like a guy that would always be willing to help out in any way he could and do whatever was asked for him with either by the police department or the fire department.
So as you look at the investigation, that's certainly one aspect of it. What about the impact to the community when you have somebody like that involved as a victim? Do you do any? I mean, you can't really triage the situation. You're not going to bring in shrinks for everybody in every neighborhood or anybody. How do you deal with it? How do you process something like this?
Yeah, you know, for the city of Fortuna and the police department, we have an employee assistance program that we offer all our employees that might want to reach out and talk to somebody. I know last night the fire department held a meeting at 6 o'clock. I wasn't able to attend that. We were right in the middle of trying to capture our bad guy during that period of time. But I know that the fire department had a meeting where I'm sure they got together and talked about it. And, you know, crisis intervention training and things like that were, you know, trained professionals come in and basically just let people vent. And, you know, that I'm sure will be taking place. And our fire chief will probably be setting something like that up for the fire department, because he was such a integral part of their department.
KINS News and Information Time is 8:40. We'll be back with more in just a few moments.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill Doberstein. Talk Shop presented by Redek and by CDH Painting. Bill, the situation that City of Eureka had last Friday with getting, I don't know if it's clearing out, I guess might be the easiest way, of a squalor flop motel. Does Fortuna, do you guys have any that would qualify comparably to the situation that Eureka was having to deal with?
Yeah, I read the story on that hotel. I don't think we have anything in Fortuna that's to that level. Now, we have had a motel in Fortuna over the last couple of years. Our building department came in and they red tagged the hotel and basically shut down operations for quite a while. And the property owner, the hotel owner, was forced to spend nearly $500,000 rehabbing the hotel to get it back up to code. So that hotel is up and running again. However, it's in much better condition than it was before. And that was a hotel that we were getting 5 to 10 calls every single day on prior to our building officials coming in and red tagging the building.
So you could put a substation there, pretty much.
We could pretty much put a substation there. We're there so often, we could put a substation there.
When you have a house or you have a commercial facility like that, do you treat it differently? Do you start paying attention a little bit more? Do you start developing a case file almost immediately so you have poundage when it gets to the point where you need it?
Absolutely. We definitely do extra patrol in those areas because obviously those are our high call volume areas. So we're doing extra patrol in those areas. We're looking for people. We tend to find a lot of people with warrants that are there. We tend to find a lot of drug use and drug sales going on in those sorts of places. So we do give it a lot more attention, and we make arrests, we cite, you know, but really to get what I found to get action is to get the building department in, because those places generally are going to have all kinds of code violations and building code violations. And, you know, if the building department comes in, you know, they have the ability to shut the place down if there's an unsafe building condition that exists there. So,
so they kind of have a bigger gun, so to speak, in this battle.
We could go in and do enforcement, make arrests, but they have the big guns as far as shutting the place down.
Do you find that the landlord, the ultimate owner,
yeah,
is sensitive to that? I mean, I would think regular guy owns something like that, we're going to be aghast that whoever right. the management team is allowed it to get to that point. But my understanding is that there's almost an industry in this, and
absolutely.
That there's specialization. And if you say you have to take, you know, you have to move 10 inches, they'll go 10 inches and maybe a 64th of an inch. And that's it. Whatever it is seen as the minimum, not as a suggested starting spot.
Right.
So when these improvements happen, does that change the dynamic for you guys?
Well, I think you're exactly right. You know, a lot of the business owners and property owners that I've encountered in 22 years in law enforcement don't want to do a whole lot. They're still collecting their rent money for the room, or they're still collecting, you know, government payments for the persons to stay there. So there's not a lot of incentive for them to clean up the act. It's very expensive. So you're right. You know, we'll come in, they may move a little bit in the right direction, but the problem's still going to exist, and it's still going to fester at that location. So, you know, again, you really have to hit them hard with the building code violations if you want to see some change. So
that's a great word to use, fester.
Fester, yeah. Word of the day is fester.
I mean, well, it's just got such a cool emotional vision, visual associated with it.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, festering and aghast. Yeah. Two words you don't hear in every conversation you've heard in the last 5 minutes right
no,
here.
I don't know when the last time I used the word fester is, but put it on my list now.
If folks have a concern that there may be something like this or a rental property might be in the same situation, they call you or they call building department?
Generally, it starts with enforcement action through the police department. And then what I'll do is talk to the building officials and get them involved.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Say hi to those guys down there that didn't show up today.
I will definitely say hi.
See you tomorrow.